I don't know how much you will appreciate today's thoughts, but I will say that talking about the Father is one of the greatest subjects that we can talk about. And the reason why is because when you truly get to know the Father, you get to know who you are. And he sent his son to show us who he is. But then we actually get to learn who we are. And one of the things that's exciting and somewhat difficult at the same time is understanding who our Father is. Did you know that Father is a title? Raise your hand if you knew that. All right, I have one. Raise your hand if you didn't know that. That Father is a title. Father is a title. That's not God's name. It's a title. And so when we think about Father, we're talking about one that is the beginning. Like, all of us have a father. All of us have one that we came forth from. Yet, when we think about the Father who is in heaven, God the Father, I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews. Because when we begin to talk about who he is and what he desires, I hope, pray, and trust that I can relay this information over and that I can get you to see the beauty of your Father in heaven. Smiling. I want you to read chapter 12, verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. Hebrews 12, verse number 9. What does the Bible call our Father?
Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?
The Father of spirits. Now, we are spiritual beings, every last one of us. And because we're spiritual beings, our Father in heaven, he is the one in which we came forth from. This is why we're made in his image. But when we think about our Father, he is the Father of spirits. Let's look at James 1. James 1. And Ray, I want you to read verse 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
All right, and so James tells us that God is stable. He doesn't shift. He doesn't move on us. But the Bible calls him the Father of what?
Of lights.
The Father of lights. Okay? The Father of lights. Not the Father of darkness. He's not the beginning of darkness. He's the beginning of lights. Okay? That which illuminates the mind, that causes the mind to be alive, if you will, enlightened. Now let's look at one more and then we'll make some comments. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let me have a little Gomez. Let me have 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. And let's notice what the Bible says about God. What does it call him? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Yes, sir.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies and God of all comfort.
All right. So, Smiley read that God is the Father of what?
Spirits.
He's the Father of spirits. Ray read that he is the Father of what?
Lights.
Father of lights. Bentley, you read that he is the Father of what?
Our Lord Jesus Christ. And of mercies. And all comfort.
All Now, I want us to think about this because it's important for us to understand that there's a God in heaven who is our Father. That's his title. Just like all of y'all have a father and you call him Daddy or you call him Father. Now, we don't call our Heavenly Father Daddy, but we do call him Father, okay? And we're able to call him Father because of the sacrifice of his Son, him making a way for us to go to him, okay? So, tonight's lesson is for us to consider the relationship that we should be having with our Father and how much he cares. And he does. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse number 5. And we're going to end at verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 5. And we're going to end at verse 7. Leon, do you mind reading?
Yes, sir.
1 Peter chapter 5. 5-7.
The scripture says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
What does the Bible tell us as it relates to casting? What should we do? Cast what?
Your care.
Why?
Because he cares for you.
Our Father in heaven cares. Now, that should mean a lot. Now, it's often said, especially in my generation, people don't care what you know until they what? Know that you care. But I can understand why people don't understand the Father or have this misunderstanding of who the Father is because they're not reading the Scripture. The only way we can know who the Father is, we have to read his word. He tells us who he is. Okay? And so when we go to God, we need to cast our cares upon him, and he gives the reason why. He cares for us. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. There's a respect that our Father deserves, okay? It's not I want you to read. And let's just read verse 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10.
In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
If you notice, Jesus teaches his disciples how to approach the Father. We don't go to him and say, dear Daddy. We don't disrespect God. We said, our Father, notice his location. Where is the Father's location? In heaven. Now, what did Jesus say about the Father and his name? What did he say about it?
Hallowed.
What does that mean? I'm glad you're looking it up. Good. What does hallowed mean?
To render or acknowledge or to be venerable or hallowed. Separate from profane things. Dedicate to God. Consecrate things to God. Dedicate people.
Excellent. No, good, good. Yes, sir.
It means mentally to venerate. And what that simply means is in your mind, whenever you're going to God in prayer, you're separating him from everything else. He's holy. And so you're having that great respect for him in your mind whenever you're praying to him.
Good, good. So when we go to God in prayer, Father, we respect you. We honor you. We cherish you. You know what that says? That says that there is a relationship there. The very thing that most people struggle with, relationships. Some men struggle with relationships. Some women struggle with relationships. And it's hard for them to be personable with those who they bring into this world. Well, when we think about it, our Father, which is in heaven, desires an intimate relationship. He desires for us to be close to him. And so when we think about our Father in heaven, not only is he the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but he's our Father, and he cares. Now, the practical application to that is that when I am in need of him, I ought to be able to run to him, to go to him, to rely upon him, to trust in him. But if I'm not going to his word or putting myself around the people of God who have that same respect and honor for my Father through his Son, Jesus the Christ, then it's going to be difficult for me to lean upon him during those times of trouble and struggle. So let me ask you a question. What does it mean after what we've just talked about, and put a few things on the board, what does it mean to truly have a relationship with the Father? What does that mean? And what does it look like? What does it mean and what does it look like?
It's like spending time with him and also being able to set aside time to spend with him alone, whatever, like getting your mind.
Yes. So it's intentional, correct? It's not something that if I get around to it. And it's not something that, well, if someone reminds me of it. It's something that I'm longing for, and it's something that is ongoing. When you think of prayer, prayer should be a conversation that picks up from the last conversation that I had. They're not just isolated moments that I'm talking to God. It's a relationship. It is a mindset, and I appreciate what Brother Leon said, it is a mindset that I'm setting my mind apart knowing that this is the one that created me. This is the one that put me inside of his Son. This is the one that desires for me to come to him. This is the one that cares for me when no one else does. And I can go even further when those times in which I sometimes don't care about myself, and that happens. And if it hasn't happened already, it will happen in the future because we're human. But when we think about our Father in heaven, he cares for us. Let's look at Ephesians 3. Let's look at verse 14. And let's take notice of what Paul says here. Paul was one that was just very encouraged that the Jews and the Gentiles could occupy the same space, if you will. That space would be the church of Christ. And so Paul would say something in verse number 14, after talking about the great mystery, talking about how the Jews and the Gentiles were in the same body, if you will. And so in verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees to who?
Father.
To the Father of who?
Father, Jesus Christ."
Isn't it interesting that even our Lord, our Master, Jesus the Christ, has a Father. But the Father himself doesn't have a Father. He's on the what? He's the what?
Highest.
He's the highest. He's the Most High. That's exactly right. So our Father is the Most High. Jesus is under him, and he called his God Father. And that's what we're supposed to call him. We call him Father. And so Paul, as he is so thankful for the great mystery of Jews and Gentiles being in the same church, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He was thankful. And so when we're going to God in prayer, one of the things that we ought to be talking to him about is being thankful that we're part of a great church. The Church of Christ. Yes, sir.
You made me think about how many will ask God for different things.
Yes.
And it started to make me think some time ago, well, instead of saying thank you in a prayer, I'm going to devote one prayer at least a day, giving God nothing but thanks.
Yes.
So it was some time ago, but as soon as I would wake up, the first thing I do is hit my knees and I start giving God thanks.
That's right.
And you made me think about how I want to go back to that, because, well, now I don't do that, but I'll say thank you, Father, for this new day, and then I'll say a prayer.
That's right.
But I really appreciate you for bringing this up.
No, to God be the glory, because, as I said a few minutes ago, I hope, pray, and trust that y'all will have a great deal of appreciation of what we're talking about. Because I'm 54, and the more I was thinking about this layout, the more I was like, wow, hold on, let me take a step back and let me appreciate this more. Well, let me tell you why. I didn't grow up with my natural father. I grew up with my stepfather. He was a good man, still a good man. But I will say, it's different not having your natural father around you. It's different. And so when I obeyed the gospel and I realized that there is a father that will never leave me nor forsake me, I clung, because now I have someone that I can cling to that will never leave me alone. And so it makes me think about the stability of the home is in the father. And this is why it's so important, young men, you have families, be there. Why? Because we have a God that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm your father. I'm the one that you came forth from. I'm the father of spirits. I'm the father of lights. I'm the father of mercies. I'm the father of all comfort. I care for you. But I want you to do something. Well, Father, what do you want? I want you to give me your will. Isn't that difficult? Difficult. Why is that difficult? Y'all talk to me. Why is that difficult?
Us being humans, we like our will to be ours.
And submitting ourselves, that's challenging, right? I mean, there's days in which, man, we're on point. We got this. This is a good day. Then there's days to be like, I don't want to do nothing no one says. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. And God is saying, okay. Okay, I get it. Now, let's prove that. Go to Psalm, I believe it's 103. Psalm 103. Let's prove this. Brother Mike is not just up here talking. I understand. Trust me. I really do. Psalm 103. Ray, do you mind? No, sir. We're going to read 12 through verse number 15. 14. 12 through 14.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust.
You hear that? He knows us. He understands the things that we go through. So God, what are you wanting from me? I just need you to trust me. I know your friend. I know how I created you, just like we talked about yesterday in Genesis 2 and verse number 7. I know your dust. I made you. I understand that. But just as a father pities his children, the Lord pities those who respect him. That's why when we go to God in prayer, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or as Brother Mike said, our great God, our great Father. Some, like Randy, most holy father. Like, I mean, the reverence. But we show that not just in our prayers, not just when we come and we worship God, but also in our daily living. So that's why every first day of the week, let's go to John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 23 and 24. The Bible is teaching us that our Father is looking for individuals to submit their will to his will in worship to him, lowering themselves. Here's the idea. That's the idea in the Greek, that you kiss up. And now you're saying, okay, now tell me what I need to do. Because God cannot teach you until you humble yourself.
And once one humbles themselves, the Father says, now I can work with you. But I can't work with you before that. So, Smiley, John chapter 4, 23 and 24, what does the Bible say?
But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Now, who's speaking?
Jesus.
And so Jesus said, the focus is not on me, the focus is on who?
God
who? God the Father. Who is looking for individuals to worship him? Yeah. Who's looking?
The Father is. And he even said the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Now, when we come to worship on the first day of the week, we ought to have our minds made up. I come to glorify the Father. Even during the Lord's Supper, we're remembering Jesus, but who are we praying to and giving thanks to because of his sacrifice?
Who?
The Father. Everything that we do is to his glory and to his honor. Everything. Look at Matthew 26. Let's look at verse number 26 to 28. And let's take notice on what Jesus says as he is about to institute what we call the Lord's Supper. Okay? The Lord's Supper. Matthew 26 to 28. Read on.
The scripture says, and as they, the apostles and Jesus, were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
What did you get out of that?
What did he say about the fruit of the vine? I will not do what?
Drink of this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Friends, God is teaching us something. He's teaching us how important it is to worship him. He's teaching us how important it is to remember his son. He's teaching us how important it is to reverence him, to bow down to him. And again, God cannot teach us anything until we're ready to do what before him? What? Bow down. Show reverence. Show respect. And so this great personal, intimate relationship that we're striving to have every single day, it's a work in progress. Every single day. And so here's the question. How close do we want to get? Yes, sir.
I messed up. I was quoting one of the verses after that right there.
Drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom?
Yes. Sorry about that. But since you asked, Jesus gave thanks for both the body and the cup. Right. And so we ought to be thanking God for the body and the blood.
Find it very encouraging, especially on the first day of the week when we're remembering the Lord's death, we are thanking the Father.
Father, thank you for your son. When Brother Mike prayed, he was thanking God for his son. Young people, one of the hardest things you will ever do, and I don't have to ask Brother Mike this, I know this for a fact, is worship the God of heaven, because it requires so much concentration and attention. There's so many things that do what from when we're trying to concentrate? They do what? They distract us.
Let me tell you some things that distract us. A lack of sleep, that distracts us.
Because then in worship, we're like, sometimes when we're praying because we're tired, we just fall asleep on the word. Okay. It happens. However, when we're coming before God, we want to be alert. When we come in before God in worship, we want to understand that I'm pouring out my heart. And if we're distracted, then that's difficult. So again, think about your relationship with God. Think about your relationship with your Father. And constantly work on it. Be intentional with it. Strive to make it the best that it can be every single day. Why? Did he give his best for us? Jesus would say, well, let's read it, John 3. Let's look at verse number 16, the classic text. It's a beautiful text. Ray, Brother Ray, please read John 3, verse 16. What does the Bible say?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's a beautiful passage. And I know we see it on billboards, we see it on people's shirts and things of that nature. That's fine, I'm glad. But if you really think about it, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. So what does he want? Submit. God is saying, get close to me. Talk with me. Read about me. Learn me. And that's the very reason why Jesus came, to teach us who the Father is. Any comments? Any questions? Anybody want to add anything? Anyone? So, let's talk about a few things. John 6. In John 6, 44 and 45, the beauty of our relationship with the Father is what it cost him for us to have a relationship with him. It cost him his Son. He demonstrated that love. But then he uses what is known as the gospel message in order to draw us in. The Bible teaches us that God's goodness is what leads us to what, Leon?
Repentance.
To change our way of thinking about evil, wickedness, and sin that separates us from the Father. He says, I don't want you to think like that. I don't want you to be involved in that because I'm chasing you to come be with me. And really, when you think of Jesus coming into this world, it's literally God chasing humanity in order for humanity to see that he's being pursued and want to pursue him back. Same thing. When a young man is desiring to be with a young lady, he pursues her. But if she doesn't reciprocate, Mike, then he gets frustrated. And then he says, you're going to forget her. That's if you're lucky, because somebody get jealous and be like, I can't have you, no one can. That happens too. Y'all be careful, that's a good point right there. If someone is that obsessive that just said, well, if I can't have you, no one else can, that's a red flag already. Something ain't going on right up here. But God, he's different. He pursues, he sent his Son, that was his pursuit. He sends the gospel, that was his pursuit. And now Jesus, or the Spirit rather, in Revelation 22:17, whosoever will let him come, that's where it stops. God is only going to pursue you so far. But now what he wants you to do, Ray, is pursue him back. Now that I have pursued you, chased you, now I need you to humble yourself and pursue me back. Look at John 6, 44 and 45. Smiley, what does that say?
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
What are some points that we see in there about the Father's pursuit for mankind? What do you see in there, Smiley?
Can you rephrase the question?
What do we see in the text that shows that God is chasing mankind? Everyone that comes unto me is what?
Is heard and learning?
Say again?
Everyone who has heard and learned.
All right. They must hear, they must learn. What else?
They shall all be taught by God.
They've been taught. That's God's way of pursuing. I'm going to teach you. And so, again, Mike, you wasn't in here, but we were talking about John 4, 23 and 24, and how the Father is seeking true worshipers to worship him. And the idea of worship there is the idea of bowing the knee, looking up. Now, I'm ready to learn. Because God has said, I need you to humble yourself before I can teach you. Because we already know that if you're not humble, you're not going to be taught anything until you humble yourself. God knows that. And so now that I have you humbled, now I can teach you how to approach me. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. All right. So if you look at that text again, John chapter 6, 44 and 45, those who come unto me must be what? They must be taught. And young people, if you think that you can know the Father and have an intimate relationship, a personal relationship with the Father without the Word of God, then I beg you to reconsider. Because it can't happen. That's like trying to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband and a wife, and you're not even trying to get to know them. It's just on paper. It just looks the part, but it's not the part. And so, we are trying to come to the Father, and the only way to do that is through His Son, through His teachings. Any comments?
Go to the book of Galatians. I want to show you this. When a person, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 3, verse number 6, for time's sake, really it's 3 through 6. When a person commits sin, they have to obey the gospel. Jesus is the only way to the Father, John 14, 6. He said, you want to come to the Father, you got to come through me. You want a personal relationship with the Father, you got to come through me. If you want to get to know the Father, he said, you got to come through me. Now, I find this interesting. Before we make this Galatians chapter 4 point, I find this interesting. So, Smiley, what did Jesus say? I am the what?
The way.
I am the way. Okay? I'm the way. And then, remember when Saul was persecuting the church? What was he persecuting?
Those who are followers of the way.
Followers of the way. Hold on. To persecute Jesus is to persecute the church. To persecute the church is to persecute Jesus. The word way, both of them. Onas, which literally means the road, the access. The way. There is a road to everyone's house that lives, that's in this room right now. If that road gets blocked by any type of obstruction, you gotta go what? You gotta go a different way. But Jesus said, I'm the what? I'm the way. Is there another way to the Father? There isn't. Just like the church. Is there another way to the Father besides the church? No. So the way that, look at Galatians 3, verse 6. The only way for us to call, now watch this language, God, Abba, Father. Man, we have to go through who?
Jesus.
Young people got to go through Jesus. He said, I'm the way, I'm the road, I'm the access. Then you get the church. And the church is supposed to be glorifying the Father. This relationship that we're having, we want to be able to call God Abba, Father. That's a personal relationship with the Father. And it only happens through one in whom He sent.
Jesus. And no wonder that's why he's called the Son of the Living God. Any comments? So as we come to some type of closure, what did we learn as it relates to having a personal relationship with the Father today? What did you learn? What do you appreciate? What can you work on so you can have a closer, intimate relationship with the Father? What are some of your thoughts?
I think it's definitely a blessing that we're able to have an intimate relationship like this with the Father, and we are able to call Him Father and have a relationship in general with Him. And I think that just being, like, I can only imagine that it gets harder as you get older, but just being able to set aside time, even now, it gets difficult sometimes just because we have such busy lives. And I think that definitely as you get older, that definitely gets harder, and I think trying to prepare for that is hard sometimes.
That's a very mature statement, Smiley, because as you get older or more responsible, let me say it that way, then you almost, I'm going to speak for myself, almost feel guilty that you almost have to make time. You feel guilty. Mike, did you ever feel that way? Feel guilty that I'm like, I got to make time for the Lord. But like, well, you should always be on my mind. Well, I'm not saying it's not always on my mind, but to just stop and make time to pray, or make time to read, or make time to do something that's going to be spiritual. Yes, it becomes more difficult the older you get. Anyone else? That's a very mature comment, Smiley. What do you appreciate? Or what do you think you will appreciate in the future? Because at this age, it's difficult sometimes to be focused on the one, now watch this, that's pursuing you. Because the Lord is pursuing you on behalf of the Father. He said, hey, come. And of course, the Father desires all men to be saved, and He desires this close, intimate, personal, beautiful relationship. He desires that. What are your thoughts on that? Leon? Yes, sir.
So you had mentioned about how you didn't grow up with your biological dad, and I can relate to that as well. And so building this relationship with my stepdad, and now I got to the point where I call him dad, it's like a big step. And, well, compare that to building a relationship with the Heavenly Father.
Sure.
And just being appreciative that we even have a relationship with Him, and now striving to rely upon Him more, trust upon Him more in every aspect.
Amen. Amen. I believe that if I didn't have my stepfather, ain't no telling how I would have turned out. There's no telling how I would have turned out. It's the reason he can get sick. I'm jumping in my car and I'm going to San Antonio. Why? Because he took care of me.
Yes.
Well, when I think about the Father in heaven, has taken care of all of my needs, even before I was acknowledging him that he was doing it. Well, if he can do that for me, then I can turn around and do something for him. Well, what is that? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Leon, go ahead and read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Since he did this for me, at least what I can do, well, what does the text say?
The scripture says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again.
Amen. He did that for me. He sent the Son for me. His Son died for me. Gave His life for me. Showed me how to live. At least what I can do is pursue Him back and do my best. And one thing we know about the Father, well, he's very merciful. He's compassionate. He's the Father of all comfort. He's the Father of lights. He's the Father of spirits. He desires our best. And when we understand that and appreciate that and really get deeper in our faith and relationship with that, I'll say it like this. It doesn't matter what comes our way. We're not going nowhere. We're going to stay with the Lord. It doesn't matter what comes our way. So it didn't take long for me. I'm just saying this for me. To make up my mind, as Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I don't care who leaves the church. I don't care who comes to the church. I don't care who's standing in front of me. Guess what? I'm not leaving. What do you think? The church. I ain't going nowhere. I can't. There's nothing else out there for me. There's not a man-made organization, religion out there for me. There's not another God out there for me. There's not another Jesus out there for me. So I might as well stay put. Just stay put. Why? Because I have a Father in heaven that loves me so much. So let's end with this. Romans 8 and verse 31. Ray, if you don't mind. Romans 8, verse 31.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Ray, is that a beautiful passage or what? It is. It's a beautiful passage. I needed to know that. My Father is for me. Well, if my Father is for me, then at least what I can do is be for who? Be for him. So this study tonight was to be very practical in the one God who is our Father. Yesterday we talked about the one God who is our Creator. And tomorrow we'll talk about God, our what? Provider. All right.